You know, during normal life, when things seem to be all in control, we get a picture of the box top of our lives, right? We see it all, everything in its place. But in a storm like we're experiencing right now, and the turbulence of life during this coronavirus pandemic, doesn't it feel like that picture is being all torn apart and it's back in pieces? We thought we had it together, but it's in pieces. And it's really what the focus of this series is all about, trying to look at the pieces of our lives, but then making sense out of how we can, this weekend, trust God and how He's the one that makes the picture complete, even when the pieces are so scattered. But I think it's important that we remind ourselves, as we feel so disconnected right now as a church family, that, you know, we're not able to gather together, that nothing's really changed. Jesus made the promise that whatever the circumstances, He was going to be building His church in the gates of hell. No amount of darkness or evil could tear it apart and stop it. And so we're the church gathered in Jesus' name. And because of that, we still are called to fulfill the mission He's given us, to wake the world up to Jesus, you know, the light and love and forgiveness and hope of Jesus. And we do that by showing His love in every way we can. And best way to show love is to meet needs of people and then telling the truth. When you're helping people to experience love, they want to hear what you have to say, and then to get people involved in the family of God. And to do that, we have to make sure that we continue to be generous with our giving. And I want to remind you that the truth is, in this pandemic, there are more ways to show Jesus love than we normally have, but we just need the ability to resource that. And I want to remind you, because it's so easy in economic downturns to feel uncertain about where we're going to be in the future. And so what we do is we hold back and we hoard. But don't forget, where God guides, He provides. And remember that God is the provider. He's the one we need to trust, not the stuff He's given us. And so by giving, we're simply reminding ourselves that God's in control, that He'll provide, and it's a form of worship. And so in a moment, on your screen, a bunch of ways you can give online are going to be there. And I just want to encourage you to remember, when you give, you're honoring God, you're showing faith, but more than that, you're helping us to show His love around the world, even in this very difficult time. And I'm going to give you time to worship this way for a moment, but don't forget, this isn't a duty. This is an opportunity to worship. God bless you as you do.
Just say that, it is well with my soul. grander earth has quaked before. Moved by the sound of his voice, and seas that are shaken and stirred can be calmed and broken for my God. Far be it from me to not believe, even when my eyes can't see. And this mountain that's in front of me will be thrown into the midst of the sea.
Through it all, through it all, my eyes are on you. Through it all, through it all, it is well. Through it all, through it all, my eyes are on you, and it is well. It is well. So let go my soul and trust in him. The waves and wind still know his name. So let go my soul and trust in him. The waves and wind still know. It is a well with my soul. It is a well with my soul. Through it all, my eyes are on you, and it is well.
Evan and Maggie and team, I'm just so grateful that you're here, that you're investing yourself and leading us in worship this way. But that song to me gets to the heart of the whole matter. It's not just going to be well with the world. It's not just going to be well out there, but it's a personal thing that we can have with God. It is well, those last two words, Maggie, with me. And I think that's the important thing we're trying to communicate. That's what we've been praying for, that everybody would realize with all the turbulence that can cause such disruption, that at the core of our being, because of our faith in Jesus, it can be well. And so I appreciate it. I know you're going to lead in worship again, but just thanks so much for being here. I'm so proud of you, thankful for you, as I know the rest of the church family is. And for all of you who are watching, I know that you're grateful for the gifts, the unbelievable talent that God has given to us as a staff team. But I want to remind you that God has also gifted each and every one of us and called us to where we are so that we can shine as light in a world of darkness, and we can show that it can be well in our soul even in the midst of turbulence like this wherever we are. And I had the great privilege this week to have a conversation with people who are really having to live out the truth of that song, people from our Northridge family who are involved in the medical profession. They're on the front lines of fighting this crazy pandemic. They're not isolating, they're going into the storm. And I tell you, the conversation was about an hour long, but it was so informative and so challenging personally, hearing their stories, and it was so inspiring that I asked our video team to edit it down into a piece that we could experience in this weekend service. And I'm just so proud of these people and thankful for them. And you need to know, I encourage you to watch and listen to this part of the conversation we're going to show you, because it's really the perfect introduction into the spiritual conversation we're going to have this weekend on trust. Check this out.
You know, we are so inundated with stats and facts and the complexities of the issue and the medical things. But you all as believers are going into this with a unique perspective. And I'd be curious, how are you presently seeing God maybe in this? Or how is your relationship with God helping you with this? I'd be fascinated by that.
I got excited last night. I work midnight, and like I said, on my way there, I got emotional. But when I got there on that unit, and I'm working a unit that even nurses at the hospital were nervous to go to, like myself, towards the middle of the night, middle of my shift, I just felt this rush of joy. I felt proud to be there and to be doing what I was doing. And it was a long road for me to get here in the nursing field. And last night I said, this is why I'm here. And this is why I've experienced a lot of things that I've experienced, because this is my true calling. And I wouldn't change it for anything. This is the proudest I've ever been. I compared it to being a soldier. Like, wow, this is how they go in, they're thrown into a battlefield, and they don't know what they're going to get and what they're coming home to, but they do it. And they do it at ease. And it's just like, now this is kind of where we are, and we have to be here for the unknown. We don't know what's going on. And I'm so proud to be in this field right now.
And Mary, we're proud of you. We're proud of you. And you are the soldier on a battlefield right now.
Yeah. And I told my grandmother this morning, with us not having the proper protective gear, I almost just feel like God is going to cover me where the protective cannot cover me. I need to be there to take care of these patients. And I know that he's going to walk me through it. And I was at ease once I was there.
Beautiful.
Amen.
Yeah. For me, being in the community, I don't think I've ever felt God as strong as I felt him, because the distractions are now removed. I feel God like I've never felt him before. And I just know that he's here with us. He's ever present. And it comes down to being compassionate and protecting every single human soul we come into contact with. And do I have fears? I absolutely have fears. I have a grown child at home who's 23 and she has an autoimmune disorder. And out in the community, we don't have the luxury of having everybody tested. And so people come and they're so fearful. I've been exposed here. I've traveled here. I don't know what to look for. I mean, they're just searching for answers like all of us are. And this overwhelming sense of vulnerability for all of us. And there's no other place to look. He's here. And I know that he's going to help and provide for each and every one of us, whatever this holds.
And it's a pathway too. It's like an open door to be able to shine light. Like people are way more open right now to say like, hey, I'm praying for you.
Yep.
Or to say something about our faith when typically that wouldn't be something that would be very well received or very easy to necessarily bring up or talk about. Mm-hmm. But it is a tiny bit of an open door to have like a positive slant on it that we can talk a little bit more openly, even with our patients or with our coworkers about our faith.
That's been my experience too, Angel. I met with a 90-year-old gentleman last week before everything really hit the fan this week. And he was facing a valve replacement surgery. And he was so afraid. He was just so afraid. You know, he was afraid of the procedure. He was afraid of COVID-19. And there were so many things. And, you know, we have to be so careful as medical professionals to share our own views. And, but it really, so I just, it allowed me to ask, do you have any spiritual beliefs? And then it opened the door for me to share, remind him that God's with him, remind him to, you know, remember God's promises, to cling to the things that he knows rather than the what ifs and the unknowns of what could happen, what couldn't happen, but just to rest. And it was, I think he found it helpful. It helped me to just even share with him that. And it actually made me feel so, like Mary was saying, I just felt so honored to be able to share that or bring that back around. Don't get to do that very often.
Absolutely. We're living in a society that's gotten more and more hardened to the spiritual. And your job is about the physical, providing for people and not jumping into their life with what they don't want. But I'm curious if maybe like those stories, the unknown and the fear of this is opening people up to want mm-hmm. more of that. And anybody else in your experiences, part of this group, seeing God, experiencing them?
In my experience, I think a lot more, like even patients, you know, are reaching out, you know, or asking, you know, hey, I'm petrified, can you pray with me? You know, I don't know where to start. You know, I have a cross on your neck. You must know something. You know?
I love it.
You know, so, and, you know, it's a very good feeling because then it's like, you know, even if like the tiniest seed that you can potentially plant, you know, you just put it out there. You know, hopefully it seeds in, it roots beautifully.
But I'd be curious now for you to speak outward towards us a little bit. I mean, you know, I'm not in your community. I'm not putting on my uniform and going in every day like you are. Most of the Northridge family aren't. So we're not close to the front lines. And what would you say to us? I mean, there are fears out there. There are unknowns. A lot of people are some people are making light of this. Some people are making big of this. We don't know, you know, we're just trying to process the information. What would you say to us from your vantage point?
I think honestly, one of the best things is if you're able to stay home, stay home. Mm-hmm. That's the biggest thing that you can do to help other people. You know, if you have like elders in your family, you know, like parents, grandparents, you know, try to just get a grocery list. What do you need? I'll drop it off at your front porch. Mm-hmm. You know, no hug, no kiss. You know, I'll blow you a kiss. That's it. You know, but just let them know, like, hey, I'm here for you. And I think,
sometimes.
Shelby, I hope my kids are listening so that they'll do that for me.
Yeah.
I'd be curious, and this might be helpful to all of us too. You know, we can get filled up with the fear because all we're doing is listening to the complexities that we can't control.
Right.
And you're all believers. I'd be curious, is there like a particular passage that you're saying, when I'm putting my soldier outfit on to go into this war or whatever, passage that you say?
Psalm 91.
Yep. Psalm 91. Who was that said?
Every day.
All of us. All of us.
Raise your hand if it's Psalm 91. There you go.
Oh, I got that one in a whole other list.
Yeah. Right. So you go, Barb, you go from Genesis to the Revelation.
I do, to Matt.
So I figured, I thought I covered it last weekend on Psalm 46, but it looks like I have a long way to go yet.
I had two things that I wanted to say to your question. One was on the sciencey side. Like, we just got information from the town in Italy that had the first case of the coronavirus. The doctor published, or is getting ready to publish his research from this town. They finally tested all 3,000 of them that are in this tiny town in Italy. And they said 50 to 75% of them tested positive, and the majority of them never had any symptoms. And so they really were advocating for self-quarantine because mm-hmm. of the fact that you have no idea how many people you're bumping up against.
That's
and
right.
that they noted that in, which we're seeing now in our population too, they noted that the people that were most susceptible, we already know the elderly and the immunocompromised, but they noted that the people that had the most deleterious effects were those who had the highest amount of like bump-ins. They had the highest viral load. And so oftentimes that's the healthcare workers or people mm-hmm. who are out with a bunch of other people. And so that increased viral load can actually increase the symptoms that you experience from this. And that's when you get the seriousness of the effect. So when you were saying like, what would you say to people? I agree with everyone. But the flip side of that, which is the second side, is that not out of a spirit of fear. And I feel like that's where it looks different in us as a believer versus just the scientific community or just the political platform or the, you know, social media platform of trying to like stir up a fear of a pandemic. But there is a piece, like Linda was saying from her patients, that we can have a grace and a peace about us when we are standing in these places. Because I told my kids when we were reading Psalm 91, like, this was written 3,000 years ago and Jesus knew we would need it today. Like, these aren't just cutesy Bible stories or like things that make a really good card or a text or a meme or something, but like we have to actually take him at his word. And when it says mm-hmm. he's gonna protect us from diseases, that's what we're believing. And when it says 1,000 are gonna fall at your side and 10,000 at your hand, like, or next to you, like, we're going to see evidence of that, but we have to stand in faith so that when we're standing in these gaps, it's not, we're not doing it out of a place of fear. We're doing it out of a place of wisdom and prayer and belief in the God that we serve, but also, you know, with the reality for the gifts that he's given us and the ability we have to communicate with people around the world and learn from this. So to be wise and not have fear.
And by the way, you couldn't have wrapped it up any better regarding that. I think that's beautiful. And Psalm 91, and I know it's a passage that all the verses kind of can cover you a bit, but verse 1, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. And if it's okay, ladies, I would love to pray for you guys to be in that shadow of the Almighty and for God's hand to be on you and use you, if that's okay. And I'm going to be encouraging the Northridge family to be praying for you and all of your colleagues and the whole thing. So before I pray, I just want to thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for standing in the gap for the rest of us. Thank you for living out faith in a place where there's risk. And your faith is really being demonstrated. And thank you for reaching into people's lives who might not have faith, but whose need for faith is starting to stir. And it's a beautiful thing. And I just want you to know, I stand behind you, our church family stands behind you, and serious business, if there's something we can do to help in the medical community or in your life, please let us know. I mean, it's really important to me. Now, we don't know, we can't do it. So if it's okay, I can pray with you. Would that be all right?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Father Heaven, I thank you so much for these warriors, these brave people on mission to offer care to people who need it desperately. And if there's ever a time that they need your grace, the sense of your presence, to see you at work, to feel like they're really in the shadow of you, the Almighty One, for them to know you as a refuge and strength, it's now. And so we pray for that. We pray that you would protect them. Seriously, God, protect them and protect their families and help remove the complexities of all their fears and use them to be vessels of grace and light in a world of darkness and a world of fear. And more than anything, God, I just pray that you would be honored in and through their lives. And God, we pray that you would bring about great resolution to this pandemic, and we pray that we would see the great good you're going to do. And in the meantime, we're going to trust you each step, not knowing what's coming, but knowing that you're with us. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Wasn't that just a fascinating conversation? And I'm just so grateful for them being willing to share their lives and their stories with us, but more than that, for being willing to go on to the front lines of this pandemic and to make a difference. And so I hope that you'll be praying for them and for all in the medical community as this thing goes forward, this season continues to be experienced by each and every one of us. And the whole conversation was so interesting that we're going to put it online after this 11:16 service, somewhere around 1 o'clock this afternoon. And you can see where you can go, the links on the bottom of the screen right now, but I'm gonna put the whole conversation on there. I really encourage you to go and listen. You'll learn a lot and it'll be an encouraging, inspiring time for you. But I wanna start this conversation that I'm going to have with you right now at the same place each of those medical professionals left off, with Psalm 91. And I don't know if you noticed this, it was so fascinating to me. I really wanted to know if they had a passage that they leaned on. And I didn't even get the whole question out before one of them shouted Psalm 91, and then every single one of them parroted the same thing and raised their hand. Psalm 91 is foundationally important to them. And you know, it makes sense because it's a psalm about security. In fact, the psalmist in penning Psalm 91 was really talking about, based upon the name of God, based upon who God is, that he knew no matter how turbulent the world got, no matter what he experienced and how frightful it was, that he could trust God and in so doing find the security he longed for and needed. And I'm going to focus in on this beautiful picture because it's not just about those who lived a long time ago. This is the perfect picture of what we're experiencing now and what God can mean to us in this moment of time as well. And I want to encourage you to read the whole psalm this week. Maybe you can spend some time in it, but I want to focus in on the first two verses of Psalm 91 so that we can learn in this season of our life to grow in our trust for God. Psalm 91, verse 1, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. And the psalmist chooses his words very intentionally, and everything he's going to experience, all the security he's looking for in life, and everything he's putting his trust in, points back to the right source, God. And whenever you see someone talking about the names of God like Jesus did when he taught us to pray, hallowed be your name, God and his character and all he can be for us is found in his name. And you can see the two names that the psalmist uses to find security in God and to put his trust in are very significant. The first one is the Most High. The Most High. What he's talking about is that God is one who transcends our circumstances. He's above what we're experiencing. We're caught up in the waves and the wind of this season of this pandemic. We're experiencing the turbulence, but God isn't. He's the Most High. God transcends our circumstances, and we can find security in Him because He's not rocking with us and being blown down with us in this pandemic. Instead, He's above it. He transcends our limitations. Our fear and the panic, our insecurities, and all the things we experience come because we have limitations. We're not in control. We're not in control of any of this, but God is the Most High. He transcends the limitations we have. He has no limitations. We're fearful looking forward about the resources and where we'll get them, but God transcends our resources. He's able to provide where there is no provision, like He did with Israel in the wilderness. He provided food when there was no source for food. He provided clothing that lasted when there was no provision for clothing, and He transcends it. So when we trust Him, we can find security. He transcends our opportunities as this pandemic moves across and starts closing down our lives in this world. It's like, our opportunities are becoming more and more limited. And I know, and I don't make lightly of it at all, some of you are involved in small business and some of you have lost your jobs and we're praying for you. And just trust me, our heart breaks with you. But I want to remind you that your opportunities are limitless with God, because He can create opportunities where there are none. And bottom line, because He's the Most High, He sees everything. He's not missing anything. Even though we can't see beyond this moment, He sees from beginning to end. And when we trust Him, we're trusting the One who knows the best way to go, the best way to turn, the good that He can make out of this. And I think it's very important for us to acknowledge, though, that just because someone is above it all and can see it all, doesn't mean anything unless they can have the power to change it. And that's why the psalmist says, not only is He the Most High, but He's the Almighty. He's all-powerful. He's bigger than this circumstance. And I want to encourage you. I know it's like this thing's happening to us and there's nothing we can do. It's overpowering every part of us. It's overpowering the greatest nation on earth. But I want you to remember that God is bigger and stronger than this storm that we're experiencing right now. He's bigger and stronger than the challenges we're facing. And because He's the Almighty, He can fulfill every single promise He's ever made, and He can fulfill His promise to keep us secure. He sees it all, He's above it all, and He's the Almighty. He has the power to fulfill His promises. And that's where the psalmist is turning. But I need you to see that though God is the Most High and God is the Almighty, we don't experience the security of that, the power of that, unless we make the choice to trust Him, which is why I love the end of verse 2 there where He says, "My God in whom I trust." There's the foundational key. You can say, how come I'm not experiencing peace? How come I'm feeling such insecurity? How come I don't have hope? And it's not that God doesn't have the capacity to fulfill His promise to give it to you, but it's because we're failing to genuinely trust Him. And when it comes to trusting God, I mean, so often we think, well, I trust God because I say I trust God, and I trust God because I sing about trusting God, and all of that's good. But here's the truth that I want to be the core of our conversation this weekend, and I hope it really helps and encourages you. You need to understand the truth that trust is not activated by words in the end. Trust is truly activated, released, and experienced through action. And so that's the truth. I hope you'll weave into the fabric of your thoughts this week. Trust is activated by action, not by words. It involves a choice that we don't sing about and talk about, but that we act upon. And when we do, trust affects our lives in every way. It affects our choices in every way, and it affects how we face things, no matter how uncertain it is. And a great positive example of this was seen in those who we had the conversation with from the medical profession. They look at, they're going in, and it's a fearful thing. And you, as you, you know, one of them 7 months pregnant, others have family members involved in the medical community and grandkids and spouses and kids. And I mean, the complexity of the fears that they could be facing by just doing what they're called to do, exercising, you know, their gifts in the medical profession cause crazy fear. But how are they doing it? How do they keep going in? They're acting upon their faith that God is truly the Most High and He's the Almighty, that He really can keep them secure. And it's action, not words. But sometimes to see something with clarity demands that we don't just see positive examples like those that we just talked to, but that we see a negative example. And I tell you, God gave us a profound negative example that overlays with Psalm 91 very well and really overlays with the season that we're experiencing right now. And it's His disciples, those who walked with Him for 3.5 years on this planet, those that got to be closest to Him, those that we now call the apostles, right? They provide a negative example in this regard. And I want you to read the story. It goes so well with the song that we sang earlier, It Is Well, and it goes so well with our season right now and our needs. And I bet you can find yourself like I can in the disciples. Look at Mark chapter 4, verse 35 we start with. That day when evening came, He said to His disciples, let us go over to the other side. And the first thing I want you to see is, and it's important, you can just fly by these words, but it says that day when evening came. I want you to realize this isn't a fairy tale, a fabricated story. This is about real people who lived on this planet like us, who were facing turbulent times as well. And it was that day when evening came. Just like us, they were experiencing a real day. That's where crisis comes. That's where the storms come. That's where we experience the turbulence. And it says, that day when evening came, He said to His disciples, let's go to the other side. He's talking about going to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And it says, leaving the crowd behind, they took Him along just as He was in the boat. There were also other boats with Him. And then a furious squall came up, an unexpected storm of a magnitude that they thought was going to wipe them out. It says the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. I mean, they thought they were in trouble. They were going down, that there was nothing that could stop this. And then the story just jumps to the weirdest sentence. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. I mean, here the squall comes up and this thing's being thrown around. It's like they're going to go down. It's like it's over. This thing's unbelievably challenging. And Jesus is asleep in the boat, and it's just crazy, unusual, until you remember that Jesus understood Psalm 91 because Jesus is the name the psalmist was looking to. I mean, think about it. How could Jesus be sleeping here? Psalm 91, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest, sleep in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God in whom I trust. The one who protects me is the Most High Almighty. Nothing can get at me, so I can rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I trust in Him. How could Jesus sleep? Because He was that name. He was that God, the Most High, who's above our circumstances. And while on earth, He was trapped in humanity like we are, but He could sleep because in His humanity, He had absolute trust with no doubt in the Father who was Most High and who was Almighty. He rested in the shadow of the Almighty. I mean, He believed Psalm 91. He lived Psalm 91, and the disciples just didn't get it. They actually thought He was missing everything because of it. Look how the story continues. The disciples woke Him up and said to Him, teacher, don't you care? Don't you care if we drown? You're just over there sleeping. You don't care about us. And He got up and He rebuked the wind and He said to the waves, quiet, be still. Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. Doesn't this remind you so much of us? I mean, these are men who had said, you know, we believe You're God. We believe You're the Lord. They had seen Him work. They had left everything to follow Him, right? And so their words were words of trust. But when the storm hit, their actions weren't actions of trust. And in fact, like so many of us, like me, it's like we have to go wake Jesus up right now because he's missing the storm we're in. We feel like he's missing it. He's lost control. He's not seeing it. He's not helping us like we should. And that's exactly where they were. And so they, you know, don't you care if we drown? And he got up and he said to the wind and waves, be still. And they went calm. Well, of course they did. He's the Most High. He's the Almighty. And doesn't remind you of the song, how can it be well with our soul when it's not well with the world, when the world's in such a mess? Because the wind and waves of today still know his name. The wind and waves of the storm we're in right now, they know his name. And even when the wind is howling and the waves are beating against us, we don't have to lose it because he's the Most High, the Almighty. And then Jesus turned to them after he calmed the waves and he said, why are you so afraid? I mean, why are you thinking I'm missing this? Why are you thinking God's lost control? You should know better. Don't you still have faith? And this is interesting. They were terrified and asked each other, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. And I need you to see this. They were terrified when the wind and waves were blowing. They thought God was missing everything. Jesus was asleep in the boat. He was missing it. So they woke him up. Don't you care? And then he calmed the wind and waves. It's calm now. And that's when the text says they were terrified. But not because of the waves and wind now. They were terrified because this one standing in front of them was the Most High One, the Almighty. And though they had said it before, though they had claimed they trusted it before, though they had followed him, they understood it in this moment. What makes this interesting as a story to me is that they knew who he was. They had already followed him. They sang the songs, they said the words, and this is really important to understand for us in this moment, in this season. It doesn't matter how much you know him or think you know him. He's so much more. He's so much bigger. And it's in a moment like they experienced where life, it seemed like, was caving in on them, that their understanding of who he is was expanded. It blew them away so much that it scared them. And the same happens to us in crazy moments. The same is going to happen through this coronavirus pandemic. We're going to discover that he's big enough even for this moment. In fact, what's important and what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to trust in him as the Most High and the Almighty as big enough for this moment. Even when the wind and waves are still raging, I don't want to be the person who looks back and say, oh yeah, he was big enough, but I lived in fear and panic all the way through the storm. I want to encourage you, he's bigger than this moment and we can trust him even in the storm. He's the Most High. He's the Almighty. So it can be well with our soul, even though it's not well with our world right now. Now, for us to really, really process this, because trust is something that takes action, not just words, we have to take the truth and we have to apply it to our lives. If we're really going to experience the power and impact, we have to apply it. And so let me kind of share it this way with you. If we want to experience God's promises in their fullness, if we want to experience the fullness of God's presence, then we have to make a choice to trust him. We must choose to trust him. He is the Most High. He is the Almighty. He will deliver on his promises, but we'll only experience it if we trust him. And so I want to ask you, are you right now? Are you resting in the shadow of the Almighty? Are you able to sleep in the bow of the boat like Jesus? Or are you like the disciples and like I am so often, just trying to set the alarm clock so God will wake up to the storm that we're in, reminding him and shaking him and saying, don't you care? If we trust him, we don't have to be there. And so for me, I have to figure out how I can build a trust for this moment, this trust that I need in this God that's bigger than the moment. And I want to encourage you to do the same thing. How do we build that kind of trust? Well, the key, first of all, is to hear his word. I mean, we have to hear Psalm 91 before we can understand Psalm 91 and apply it. We have to hear that he's the Most High. He's truly transcending our circumstances. He's not caught up in them. He's truly above our limitations. He's unlimited. He's truly the Almighty. He's bigger than this moment. And we need to hear that. And we need to hear that because of that, we can rest in unrestful times. So we have to hear the word. And that's exactly what Romans 10:17 says. Faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. We're hearing so many messages in this world that can cause us fear and insecurity and uncertainty, that can rob us of sleep and peace. And what we have to do is we have to counteract that word with his word so that we can grow in trust. Are you? It's what we're doing in a moment like this. We're gathering around his word together. It's why I'm meeting every Thursday night with you on Facebook Live and our YouTube channel so that we can process the word together. But remember, the word's right there with you. You can open the Bible anytime, and you should. And then if we're going to really trust in him and experience the fullness of his presence and promises, then once we're hearing his word, then we need to, this is so important, not just sing about it and talk about it, we need to act upon it. Take action. Act upon his word. Look at these two sentences in James 1:22. Do not merely listen to the word. Don't just hear it and so deceive yourselves. It's kind of where the disciples were, right? They had heard the word, they had said the word, they had sang the word, but when the storm came, they weren't ready and they panicked. Don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Act upon it. And then for me, that's not quite enough, because I go, I always like to be moving forward. So I said, well, I've heard his word, I've acted upon it, now what? Well, here's the best counsel I can give you, the best counsel I can give myself. Then we have to repeat. It's not enough to have heard the word and to have acted upon it. We have to keep hearing his word and keep acting upon it, and keep hearing his word and keep acting upon it. Look at Psalm 143, verses 8 and 9. Let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love. Every single morning I need to hear your word of your unfailing love, that you're the Most High, that you're the Almighty. Because then every single day I can put my trust in you, for I have put my trust in you. It needs to be a repeatable thing every day. And then he says, show me the way I should go. In order to know the way we should go, we need to keep hearing from him and trusting him. Show me the way I should go, for to you I entrust my entire life. Rescue me from my enemies, even the invisible enemy like this pandemic. And he says, Lord, for I hide myself in you. Right there, sheltered in the shadow of the Almighty. If we're going to consistently trust God, this is something that we should repeat each and every day of our lives, hearing his word and acting upon it, hearing his word and acting upon it. And if we do, when the storm hits, and it will hit, we're experiencing rage right now, even when we feel like we're in the middle of a vast ocean, and it's like our boat is seemingly going to go down, even then, we'll have the faith to trust him.
You call me out upon the waters, the great unknown, where feet may fail. And there I find you in the oceans deep, my faith will stand. So I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace, for I am. Sovereign hand will be my guide. presence of my Savior, stealing me when my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made strong. Presence of my Savior, Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. And take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of
those words, right? Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. You know what that's based upon, right? He's the Most High. He's the Almighty. When we really trust Him, our trust doesn't have to have limitations. Not because we don't. We have so many limitations. We are so incapable of facing moments like this. But He's not. And so our trust doesn't have to have borders or limits. And then it says, let me walk upon the waters. I can face down the impossible with the God of the impossible. And it says, wherever you would call me, I can stand. I can walk on water. He's called us here, right now, you know, to know and to reflect Him in this moment, in the storm. Not to talk about what He used to be, but to talk about who He is right now. I think as the story of the disciples and the storm and the boat is relevant to us today, the story that is going to be told of our lives right now in this storm is going to be equally important, and we need to face it with His security and His trust. And if we genuinely trust Him in the midst of this storm, our prayers and our actions won't be like the disciples in that storm where we panic and we fear and we beg God to wake up and notice us and to help us. But instead, it'll be like the psalmist where we say, God, I trust You. So remember, please remember, God transcends this circumstance. He's transcending our limitations, and we can trust Him. And if we believe it and do trust Him, it will change how we live. It will change how we go through this storm. It will change the pictures we paint for other people to see what Jesus means to us. But we have to make the choice. He is the Most High and the Almighty, but we have to choose to trust Him. Which brings me to how that song just ended. Romans 10:13 says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. It's not a question. It's a fact, but we have to call. And I want to encourage each and every one of you, those of you who are Jesus followers for a long time or just recently, just you have areas like I do where, man, we're feeling like we need to be saved from them and rescued. Our boat is starting to go down. Well, call on him. But some of you, while those are praying, some of you have never called on him to save you. You're still locked in your guilt and your shame, and you don't have a relationship with God. Well, you can call on him, and he'll save you, forgive you. That's why he died and was buried and rose again. So while the others are praying, would you pray with me right now? Take my words and make them yours, and you can say them out loud, or you can say them in your heart, but make it the action of your choice. Just say, Jesus, I'm calling on your name right now because I need you to save me. And I'm putting my faith in your name, the Most High, the Almighty. I believe that you died on the cross because of my sin and then rose again to give me new life. So I confess and acknowledge my sin and ask you to forgive me and trust you to give me new life. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed with me, I really want to encourage you, let us know. It's a huge encouragement to know when God's using something we're doing, and it's not as easy when we're not gathered together. We're separated this way, and we'd love to know that you prayed with us. And at the bottom of your screen, you can see how you can text us, and just know we'll send you information about next steps you can take and introduce you to ways that we'd like to encourage you, send you a Bible, but we need you to let us know. And I really want to encourage all of us. I think it's important that we connect more, not less. And so every Thursday night, as long as this is going on, I'm going to be on at 7 o'clock on Thursday night. And you can find us on Facebook Live, the Northridge Facebook Live, or the Northridge YouTube channel. But wherever you find us, let's get together for some spiritual encouragement. Stay connected. And I'll try and keep you informed about what's going on here at Northridge. And finally, I just want to thank you. Thank you for showing up in this experience. And don't forget, even though our three live services are done, it's going to exist on Facebook Live, and you can go to On Demand on our website and all kinds of different ways, YouTube. Tell people about this. Get people watching it. I think everybody needs to hear about God being Most High, the Almighty, and they can find security in trusting him. So be a part of that. And next week, we'll gather the same way. But before we end, I want to pray with you. So would you pray with me? God, I ask you right now in this moment to help us to live in your unlimited power. Help us to live in your unlimited power rather than being restricted and bound up in our unlimited abilities. You, God, are faithful to your promises. Because we know and believe this, because we trust in you, even though we don't understand what's going on or what's going to happen or how it's going to turn out, none of that ultimately matters because we know you, the Most High, the Almighty. And so we're going to say right now, we're not going to be ruled by fear. We're going to be ruled by faith. And with the psalmist, God, we're going to declare, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I'll say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. In Jesus' name, amen. So glad you joined us. I hope you'll be praying for the team, that you'll be praying for our church to keep showing Jesus' love around the world, and I hope that you'll be with us next time. Thanks, everybody. I'm praying for you.